Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome back. Today we are going to start a new chapter. As previous chapter, we went through a list of main passions. Now opposite, we will go through the list of main virtues. But before we start, you know, this virtues is what I want to say, that if you read books, literature, especially where there are like words of holy fathers, so you can very often you can meet these expressions that they use singular to acquire virtue, not virtues. And even like Isaac Syrian. Do you need a book?
Yeah.
So Isaac Syrian, he starts his homilies with words that the fear of God is beginning of virtue, like singular, not plural. And what does it mean? And it would be, it is good to keep it in mind when we go through virtues, because the goal of growing virtues is to acquire virtue. Now, Holy Fathers, they say that, or they mean under virtue, Christ himself. Because all virtues are perfect in him. So it means that many times when Holy Fathers, they talk about spiritual life, and the goal of the spiritual life, they talk about gaining virtue. It means Christ. I read about many explanations of this, but I like this one, that again, what is our goal? To clean this image of God in ourselves, and to acquire this likeness with God. So it means that this state of holiness, purity of heart and mind, and where all virtues are present, is a state when God lives in us. And if he lives in us, so it is that we acquire virtue. It means Christ himself. This explanation I like the most. And this is like goal of our life. It is not only that we have these eight virtues we are going to talk about today or in next probably days, that it's not only that we concentrate on each separate one. We are supposed to concentrate on all of them. Made together, they help us. Growing in this, we will reach this likeness with God, this to clean this image of God in us. I think this is the goal of our spiritual life, and we should keep it in our mind. And all these virtues we are going to talk about helps us to make make these steps correctly. All right, so let's start this first one, is abstinence. May I ask you?
Abstinence. Abstinence from excessive consumption of food and drink, especially wine. Accurate keeping of the fast established by the church. Reigning in the flesh through temperate and unvarying foods from which all passions in general begin to weaken, especially self-love, which consists of excessive love of the flesh, the stomach, and its pleasure.
So we started like this gluttony last time, and opposite is abstinence. And well, it is not only like fasting, it is just this, I would say, fasting teaches us to how to treat our body and how to treat our desire for pleasures of body. And food is one of main pleasures which we give to our body. And we have to understand that, well, before we become rulers of our movements in heart, you know, we have to become rulers of our body. That is like lowest part of our being, this carnal thing, carnal body, carnal needs. So if those needs or our body are ruling in us, we cannot make progress. So soul is like slave of body, of bodily needs. And like he says that to have abstinence, so to have really power over needs of our body, that we don't follow like slaves desires of body, it causes that all passions become weakened. Especially he says about self-love. That it is going away, and it is like to demolish the barrier which causes that we cannot move on in our spiritual life. Because once we remove this slavery over our body, which causes that our soul doesn't have freedom to raise to God. So until we don't do this, so then we are exposed to many other passions. Yeah. And actually this should be some kind of sign of our way of life. To really be rulers, masters of our body, not the opposite. And it is very difficult. It's difficult because many times I realize that we had anniversary recently. And so let's go on Sunday, let's go out to eat. So where we are going to eat? And also, well, let's go to Fairlawn. And what do we have there? This one restaurant. I don't like that. You know, we went through all like common restaurants, these chains, you know, and somehow we were not able to make decision that where to go. You know that, and then when I read it today again, and I said, "Oh my, this is how this body was ruling over us." That while we were so spoiled, you know, that we were looking for something extra, you know, like what would be very tasty and we would enjoy the food, you know, because it's a celebration. So we were looking at what would fit to all of us. And I realized this is some kind of slavery. It's natural that if you need to choose, so you're choosing what fits the best for you, you know. But well, then I recall to that, like these elders and these holy monks and this teaching of, I don't know if I think Brancheno too. He says later on, he says that if you have two pieces of some kind of food, take that one, which is tastes worse, just to train yourself. Take smaller piece than bigger piece. Only if you are sick, take better, because if you lost your appetite, so then you have to reach for tastier food to overcome this problem with eating. But usually then go for simpler food, less tastier food, smaller piece. And I said, well, how we failed, you know, in this some kind of following this teaching of Father. Yeah.
Jimmy has the look on his face.
Well,
in my head.
Yes, of course.
Or the problem would have been if you wanted to go to every restaurant and you couldn't decide because you wanted to go to so many. See, just the opposite. You had the temperance to, no, not I. I'm not jumping at this one. I'm not jumping at that one. If you wanted to go to all of them, that would be the gluttony, because I want to eat everything at all the restaurants because they all have good food. But see, none of it appealed to you, so you already had that discipline in a way, because they weren't just jumping out at you, and you didn't want to go here and go, oh gosh, I don't know where to go. Let's go to, you know, let's see, let's go to all of them. Well, that's, you know, so actually you displayed good temperance in that respect.
Yeah,
discipline, because you just didn't rush to, because you were celebrating because, oh, I like, you know, whichever of these restaurants. You were actually using your, you know.
But, well, I need to tell you that once we chose this simpler way, you know, it was Marzocca's birthday. Well, not birthday, was our anniversary.
Well, where did you go?
So we went and said, let's go. You are not going to cook today. We told her, we are taking you out to eat. So we started, and she asked, where are we going? And I said, Hamburger Station. And she said, oh, and she said, ha 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 ha. Yeah, she didn't believe. But well, when we went there around, I turned there, we parked there, I turned off like engine, open door, let's go. And when I saw this, her look at me, you know. So we got back to car. she has a really tough life.
If you were going to go to Bob's Hamburger, that'd be different.
Well, that was a joke, but probably, you know, it would work better than the restaurant when we were.
See, that's my problem. I look at a menu, and I'm like, one of each. And it's very, I go in a restaurant, like, especially a new place, you go someplace new, and I like, boy, I sure would like that, I would like that. And you can't just get a sample, you know, you just, well, okay, which is the most healthful for me? Because that's what I got to look at now. Okay, this is the most healthful, and I usually go with that. Mm-hmm. But then I say, I'm coming back to this restaurant again, and I'm going to get this one.
Yeah.
And that's not what, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what they're telling us here.
Sure, but, well, we have to understand that what he tries to teach us, it is not some kind to create difficulties in life. Actually, he points, look, this looks innocent. When we are talking, you know, it's it's natural that you are going after a tastier piece or good piece or what fits more to your taste, flavors. You prefer that, and you can say, well, it's just a little bit. But if I have a little bit, so let's choose what is good. Even like all this stuff is organic food, you know, that we are paying more because of that reason, that is organic, maybe healthier. So again, it is another aspect, you know, of this abstinence, that what he calls is not to torture us, just say, make this simpler. But the reason is not to punish yourself, but through this become master of your body. You know, master your body. Talking about that, Saint Paisios, when I read his back in Slovakia, his first like book about his life. And what was really funny, I couldn't get it, I was like, this is crazy. When what he did, he made like a jam from fruit which was growing around his shed or this small kelia, and for winter time. Not a lot of, but he made it. But when he opened this jar with jam, he put there cucumber, which was pickles, inside to damage the sweetness of the jam. You know, to damage that. And I said, this is crazy. But then the man you start to think, you know, that the reason why he was doing was he really kept his body as a slave. And you know that he was master. He said no to his desire for these pleasures of body because he tasted something better. He tasted pleasures which on this spiritual level, and he didn't want it to lose that.
Why did he make it at all then?
What?
Why didn't he just not make it?
So he had to eat something.
Well, he could find something else to eat that was more healthy for him than jam.
He should have just eaten the pickles.
Yeah.
Well, look, he was like Aramita. He lived. Oh, he didn't eat a lot of. You know, it was just a little bit. But if I remember well, this his last years of his life, he lived as an emeritus in one small, what was a little housing shed more. And to get something to eat, you had to walk to the nearest monastery. You know, so all these eremites who were living alone, so they had a little bit of little field when they were raising some kind of vegetable, and they were picking this stuff from trees, you know, that for winter time to have. So it is, even they ate really a little bit, but they tried to use what they had around, you know, because and they had no money. If you go to monastery, they would not give you there like for free. You had to buy from them. Yeah, sure, you know.
Well, yeah. If they don't have any money, the hermits don't have any money. Why wouldn't they give them?
Oh, they have some money. It's not like so because they what they do for a living is and it's very important this part that you have to have physical work too. In this, they just don't sit and pray. No, physical part is physical work is very important. Without that, it's so they use this kind of work which doesn't acquire a lot of. Lots of mental work, you know, these eremites, the hesychists. So they grew some vegetable, a little field, and they do like hand works, like the small crosses, carving from wood, and they sell it. So they have a little bit of money for those things they need. You know, and there's an but it's very strict. There's a story I didn't prepare for that, so I don't remember name, but it was this one Eremita Hesychast, and his brother Hesychast gave him a pen, you know, that I got it for somebody, someone gave him, I don't need that, you have this. He took it and he felt, I said, well, take it back. I said, why? Because I need to hang it on the wall, you know, this pen. I have no nail. So I cannot use it because I will not put it on the floor. If I remember it this way. So he refused it. So they live this extreme poverty. You know, so it means that this is the reason why they use these gifts from God, which grows on all this fruit which is around. They use that for their living, and they can survive on this really long time from little bit. But monastery is not factory for money too. You know, like in monasteries, there are like 100 monks, you have to feed them. It's not like free, you know. No. This was in this, but look, you have to look to in their lives. Sure, there are their monasteries. They take care of these eremites, like this. Some of them, like Serafim Serov, once per week, a monk came from monastery to his hermitage, and he brought him bread, loaf or two loaves of bread. You know, that's it. You know, and the same thing. They care of this, but. The point is that even these armies, they refuse this, you know, they refuse this because they go out not just to be in romantic solitude, they go out to live in this extreme poverty and silence to really become able to see God through this noetic prayer. So it is part of their decision. And this is your question. Well, I cannot answer very well because I have not big knowledge about that. I know that there is this exchange of money, is there some kind. Yeah, they are earning some money through this carving of these handworks. You know, and they sell that, and from that they buy what is essential. You know, that it is even like their cassocks. From time to time, you know, you have to change it, and so you need to buy it. You know, so this is why these handiworks are for, you know, to provide a little bit of cash. To buy stuff, because, well, I don't know details too much, but well, there is some kind, but there is, well, more question food, or we can continue. All right.
Chastity, avoidance of all manner of carnal sins. Avoidance of sensual conversations and reading, avoidance of speaking in pure, sensual, duplicitous words, preservation of the senses, including sight and sound, but especially touch, modesty, rejection of impure thoughts and imaginings, silence, stillness, serving the sick and crippled, remembrance of death and hell. The beginning of chastity is the mind that is not disturbed by carnal thoughts and imaginings. The perfection of chastity is purity that sees God directly.
So this is very important virtue, and well, to come to this goal, to reach this ability to see God directly through pure heart, it seems like impossible for us. But with God's grace, there is impossible if we want. But I think that this is a very important call for us, and I think that to work on this chastity should be the starting point. Should be to somehow cleanse ourselves from way how which word pushed us to see things around us. I mean that how many things are not disturbing for us? You know, even like, I would say this modesty in dressing, in acting, in words. It would be I don't know I watched one movie recently on YouTube. I found and if you listen to it, was like from 50s. If you listen to the language and how they acted, you know, and everything, I said, well, if those people who were watching these kind of movies at the time would make a jump to our time, they would be scandalized. You know, how people are dressed, how they act, what they do. And especially with chastity is that there is this desire in this area is so powerful and so thirsty that we adjust to this. If we are looking for pleasure from this kind of things, impure things, we are satisfied very fast, and this desire demands more. That this is why even like movies are more and more provocative. There are scenes we are more intensive, because if they don't make it more intensive all the time a little bit, it would be not desired, this kind of movie. If they want to attract audience for that, they have to make it more desirable. But you are going to this vortex, you know, that pulls you down. You know, if you jump, if you don't have this under control, if you don't try to keep it under control, so, well, slowly, your body will demand more and more intensive impulses, and it will be putting down. So well, and again, this is something what puts barrier between our soul and God. Actually, it's difficult to pray. It's difficult to collect thoughts. It's difficult to really to see others, because again, this is this passion causes that that our self-love, this love to our body and this desire to feed our body, causes that we are not able to love others in good way and God. So this is very, very important, and especially now we have to go this detoxification, you know, because many things we consider as a normal, as a part of life, and they are not part of life. And this one thing, another thing is that we have to protect ourselves, but through protection ourselves we are protecting the others. We are helping others. You know, if we act with this desire to live pure life, through this we are helping others. I remember that a friend of mine, he visited one monastery in, we were there, actually he went there on our recommendation in Poland, but I forgot the name, Trajanskim Cluster. Okay, I think that it was a women's monastery in Poland, very beautiful place. And we were there, and so actually we made one trip around this east of Poland, this quite Orthodox now, and Eastern. There's a lot of monasteries there, and that was a very beautiful place. It's very refreshing to go there. It was 2 days trip, I think. It's Grabarka, name of monastery. And so when we returned back, we were like, oh, this was great and refreshing, and you know, and especially this experience of monastic life, you couldn't see in Slovakia this authentic Eastern monastic life. And so I recommended to all my friends, and he told me that when he went with his friends there to this Grabarka, he said that there was like that at the time it was some kind of retreat for the nuns had a retreat for some kind of girls or young ladies there, and he said this was amazing. He said they were dressed, you know, to fit to this monastic place. And he said, it was great to see that. Because he said, you look at these young ladies and you had this feeling of holiness just to see them how they were dressed. This was very powerful. He told me that this was his powerful moment. Not, well, if you see a nun dressed in habit, so it's okay. But this, he said, this was something. He said, we didn't talk to them. We didn't, so I don't know what kind of character they have and everything, but how they were dressed had huge impact on him. And I think that this is something what it should be our role as a Christians in this world. Remembering and trying to reach this chastity. To have this goal of to reach purity of heart and mind. It should be seen in all aspects in our life. And many times things which are trendy in the world are not good for Christians to follow. Keeping in mind that, well, what kind of message I am sending. And, well, for sure I'm not an expert in for dressing or something, but I think that there is some, this his memory, this experience really gave me, I was thinking about this a lot of, and I think that probably we should remember that. Well, anyway, to try what is possible. Let's have another. Yes, go ahead. Yes, sure.
Under chastity, when it says serving the sick and crippled, can you explain that? I always would think that was charity and not chastity.
Well, this is puzzling for me too. This is why you avoided that. You know, because I really accepted that, but I couldn't find this connection there.
Okay.
And also it is question for me too. But look, he says that where it leads, you know, like not only that, but to silence, to stillness, to serving, to remembrance of death, you know, I really, when I was thinking about that, how to maybe touch this part, only thing was for me that once you reach this chastity, mind, so you are free from this slavery of self-love, and it means then you are more open to for serving the others. This was my, Patrick, you have
I thought? Perhaps I have a thought, but and I agree with you. What you're saying is that serving the sick and the crippled turns you away from self and toward others.
Yeah.
But also it changes your view of the body. You know, you're not using the body an object of lust, but you're looking at the body and serving those who are infirmed, those who are crippled, and it just changes your focus of body, and perhaps maybe that's where he was coming from.
Yes, usually it is pretty clear what he means, but this part was tricky, and I don't want to make it up, you know, my own conclusions. I sometimes I am doing it anyway.
Okay,
third one.
Uh-huh. Acquisitiveness, thank you. Being content with only necessities, hatred of luxuries and comfort, giving alms to the poor, following Christ's commandments, love of evangelical poverty, hope in the providence of God, calmness and freedom of the spirit, not being beholden to anyone in the financial sense, gentleness of heart.
So again, we were talking about this many times from the beginning, that this request to simplicity of life, to try to be satisfied with necessities. Well, it's this is quite difficult. It's challenge many times, especially for us who live in families, because you can set up for yourself some kind of rules you want to follow. If you live in family, so you have to respect other members of family and their needs, and actually you have to provide some kind of decent place for a living. This is things you really need for running of really household. Now it is really important to at first to make good discernment what serves you as a tool for your life or what is extra. So we were talking about this before for really almost 1 hour, I think, remember, and Patrick gave very good advice about to wait several weeks.
90 days.
Yeah, 90 days that before, if you want to buy something, wait 90 days. If you still need that, then you buy it, you know. So I think it's wonderful, wonderful rule that. And Joanne?
I was gonna say, you can ask yourself, is this something I need or is this something that I want?
Sure, sure. Yeah, exactly. And, but still, if we should leave it just, well, I will try, we should really make some steps, practical steps to achieve that. Even like in family, there is a need if you feel that, well, family life causes that you are not able to follow that, then it is time to make talk, to have discussion family and to say, well, I feel that we need go to simpler way, and so to set up together some kind of rules for things.
And to do that, instead of I really like to have it. Okay, so you think, if I really want it, you start putting the money away for it. You save and you save and you save for it. And when you get the money put away, then ask yourself, do I really need this thing? And then you can determine from there whether it's a necessity or a luxury. You know, whether you can really use it or did you just want it? Impulse to buy, in other words.
Sure, and well, we should, one thing is that we should let these impulses which are coming from study of Holy Fathers to afflict us and to lead us. Miron is going to kill me now, but I'm going to tell one story. When we visited him in seminary first year, and it was like cold outside, you couldn't go. It was bad weather. So we went mall, just to hide ourselves because of weather. And I asked him, you know, do you need something? You know, now we are here, so if you need some kind of stuff, you know, so we can buy it now, we gift and everything. And I gave a good answer, you know, said, well, I don't need anything, you know. This reading of these Holy Fathers, they it forces you not to have stuff, you know. But we were moving him now from seminary, we needed two cars, you know. But very old, important things. But what I mean is, to describe that, when you start to read them, Holy Fathers, and you start to understand that it is not just a thing that I am giving up, I'm choosing more simply a life. It's not some kind of tyranny towards our life, towards our way of life. Or no, you start to taste that there is more behind, that this is like condition to free your spirit, your soul. And once you do this, when you step on this path, you start to taste something from these spiritual things, from the level of soul, which gives you, I don't have these words for that, but the same thing is that if you start like a path with God and you try to pray more and try to grow in spiritual life, the first things you will find out that you will lose several friends. Not because something happens, just you would not enjoy their company anymore. It, naturally, they go away and new friends come. Because you understand each other more because of this spiritual growth. It's something what is natural. So something new understanding, new state in soul comes. So again, and you start to like it. You start to prefer it. The problem is that we many times just follow way of life of this world. And many times we don't think about that we should follow this simpler way of life. And because of that, we are not able to taste this pleasure of spiritual freedom. When instead of worries of material things, you know, who stole a lot of your time, you have this time you can give to your soul. And the fruit is something inside of our heart and soul which causes that you start to like this state. That you start to like this state. Now that, again, I mentioned this elder Paisios, that he, when he became very like well-known shepherd and spiritual father for many around the world, so he was invited to Athens, I think. So he traveled there, and because they really loved him, so they gave him very good room, you know, and all these pleasures, you know, like bed and the best things, you know, because they wanted to honor him. And then he made comment, not if. Because he didn't want to upset them, but then he told it to somebody else. He said it was the worst night in his life, you know, that he had to move on the floor because he found how he practiced. It's not about us. I'm not saying that now we should go to floor, you know, to abandon our bed. But I mean that when you follow this way, so then you will find pleasure in really in simpler things. And this would be considered normal. You see as a obstacle for your being, for your soul, for your spiritual state. Probably it was not the best example, but well, I tried. Sure, this is, I think, that the explanation of his complaint, you know, that, but again, it's what seems like radical, ascetical practice, you know, and me probably would not, it's difficult for us to understand why. But they were choosing these things to keep body and bodily needs under control. So they went to strictness to keep body under control. May spirit can go up. So it is not just torturing without meaning. The strictness was they introduced their life to free themselves from these desires of body and pleasures of body, to be open for pleasures which come from above. Well, it's time. Well, I think that we should stop here because next is can continue. Well, thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.